and amen. And before Natalie and Michelle leave the stage, they're leaving the state as well after this semester. And so we just wanted to thank them because we love them so much. Natalie was saying in the green room that she's been here since 2013. So that's 5 years. So we have a succulent, so you'll remember the desert. And then we have a necklace for you from Reload Love, just to thank you girls, ladies, so much for everything you've done. I'm going to miss you. Natalie and her husband, Ryan, are going to be with the church outside of Pasadena as the main worship leaders. And so it's a very exciting fulfillment for them to be team worship leaders, as well as this happening. So will you be praying for them as they go to really fulfill God's calling in their lives? And then our Michelle's going to Budapest.
No, Prague.
Prague. Sorry. I get those Eastern Europe countries messed up all the time. Anyway, she's heading to Prague, and she's going to be going to school.
Yeah.
And learning to teach
English. Learning to teach English.
Yeah. And doing her art. So it's a long way for her to be from us. So maybe next semester we'll be giving you their email addresses or ways that you guys can send postcards or cards or something to tell them we miss them. But anyway, so we really wanted to thank them. Thank you guys. Love you so, so much. And then while they're here, these are Aaron and her that hold up the hands of She Ministries for the Bible studies. Zanetta is the director of Women's Bible Study, and you guys know Zanetta, right? Because she's been teaching. But, you know, it's really her responsibility to make me look good. No. And she does, because she does so many things behind the scenes and that are very vital and important to women's ministry running the office. So it all ends up, the buck stops with her. And so we're just so thankful also for her teaching this semester. We want to thank you for that. It's been such a blessing. And she just is that gentle spirit. I mean, she really represents the godly woman we've talked about in Genesis. She has such a great ability for being an ambassador. And she does so really well. So we want to thank her. And Tracy, oh my word, when you have to juggle 150 volunteers, I don't even know what to say about that, because with that comes a lot of personalities. And so she does it so well, and she's incredibly organized and detailed about the things that she does. And so we're really, really grateful. You guys need to know there's a large team that does this. And then I was hoping Karen could come up and just introduce the moderator coordinators, because Karen oversees director of moderators. Is that the official title? Bible study overseer. I knew there was a term for that. Our AM Bible study overseer. And so, you doll, she's been with us forever. Way before 2013.
Way before 2013.
Can you even think of when you started?
Oh my goodness. I think it was 1997 or 8. 99, yeah.
Yeah. I do know she used to kill ladybugs.
No, I didn't kill them. Oh. I just pulled the wings off.
Ladybug, Skip calls me Ladybug, and we had to get up and share a testimony of something I think we were embarrassed about or whatever it was. And that was it. I go, no, not the lady. That was terrible. I'm supposed to be thanking her, and I'm humiliating her. But so anyway, clearly, if she's been around this long, everybody loves her. And so it's clearly and easily stated. So then I'll let you introduce the moderator, director, and moderator coordinators.
Okay. So we have Diane Perez. She is our... And Audrey Martinez. These are your moderator overseers who work very, very diligently. Oh, my goodness. They are so good and care so much and love so much, and we just love you girls so much. You work really diligently and hard for this ministry. Thank you. And so Diane and Audrey have four coordinators who also work diligently to oversee the moderators. They each have a moderating group. And we have Sherry Perez right here. Stand up, Miss Sherry. Jerry Garcia. Kara Flynn. And Susan Cedillo. These ladies make an awesome AM team, and we just love you so much. Everything you do is so appreciated, and nothing goes unseen. So remember that. We notice everything.
Yay! And then, of course, thank you, ladies. You can, the moderators, we were saying this morning, they're the unsung heroes. They don't get anything for what they're doing. They don't get paid. I think they have to pay for their own books, which is just an utter humiliation to me. They don't? Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're just like, they get nothing, no crumbs. And so anyway, if the moderators would stand up, and you should shout out for your moderator, because we're so honored. Woohoo! Oh, that's fabulous. Thank you, ladies. You really are in the trenches where the rubber meets the road, right? You're translating the things of the leadership and the Lord to the ladies, and that conduit back and forth for all of that. And so we're so, so grateful that we have an army. And I don't know if you're the captains and these are generals or something. I don't know. They're sergeants and captains. I'm terrible with all those things. So anyway, thank you. We really appreciate all that you do. And we couldn't do it without you. I think there's a couple of Kathys that do our hospitality. Are the Kathys squared here? Oh, okay. That's okay. They're not here. They're working. Oh, okay. Kathy, where is the Kathy that's here? Oh, they're not here. Okay. Karen said they were. She's okay. They're not. And so just ever so grateful for that. And then we can't forget Janene, because she's one of the other teachers, and she does our You Stand Up. They know who you are anyway. And I have to tell you that I think Janene and Zanetta and I would agree that this semester as a teacher was incredibly intimate and incredibly humbling and really needed to be handled with such respect and fear of the Lord. And so I cannot believe how vulnerable these ladies were with you this semester and how deep and rich everything was as a result of their just shining example. So thank you for, love you guys. Love, love, love you guys. And then I just want to make a shout out to Lynn Dugan. Lynn, if you'd stand up. Lynn's husband was in the ministry for, I bet you, 60 years, probably more than that. Lynn, how long? About 60 years. And so she did me the kindness of when she started being involved here, taking me to lunch and giving me a book and encouraging me. And her stellar example, I'll tell you what, there's some days I want to play hooky. And Lynn is here every single week, and she puts us all to shame because look how put together she is. She always looks so amazing. And so I think that you need to know that we have people that we can watch walk the path ahead of us. And it may not seem like it because you can't see us, but we're following. We're following that example. And I'm really, really grateful for the one that you give, Lynn. Thank you. So I just love her. Greeters. Okay, so they would have come under the hospitality. Who are our greeters? Can you stand up, greeters? You make us feel welcome. Thank you, ladies. Okay, Ruth, I've known you forever. This lady plays, do you still play basketball? Pickleball now. Okay, come on. Ruth, I don't want to out you. Are you in your seventh decade, eighth decade? Eighth decade. 76, and she still plays basketball and pickleball. Okay. Wow, that's really amazing. Thank you, ladies, for giving your time and greeting everybody. So it's just Heather. Woo-hoo! Heather doesn't want to stand up because she's used to being behind the phone, but our social media. She's the one that lets you know what we're doing, what we did, what we want to do, pretty much. She keeps you up on all the things and does it so well. I mean, I'm always amazed. And so if you're feeling encouraged by some of the posts you see on social media, then you know that Heather's had her fingers at the, phone. I don't know where she creates all that stuff. But anyway, and then Francesca. We don't want to forget Frances in the office. Frances is a part of the women's ministry team. Stand up, Franny. And Frances does all of our special events, and we have a very special event coming up in August. What date? August 4th. We're having a seminar with Mo Isom, who has a great book out. She uses my same agent. And the book is Sex, Jesus, and the Conversation the Church Forgot. So if this semester wasn't enough to build us up to that, I want you to invite all your friends, nieces, cousins, people within the body of Christ. And I guess we're just going to tear off and dig into some of the things in our culture that are so difficult to talk about. And so that's Fran's job. You'll be hearing more about that via Heather so that you'll know how to get involved and get signed up for everything. So anyway, great thanks to all of you. And now it's time for testimonies. So are we having mics down there, or how do they do it? Okay, so
let's thank Lenya as well.
Thank you. Oh, love you, Diane. Love you guys. This is just an absolute joy for me. And this semester, I was watching you guys worship, and I was so proud of you. And honestly, I tell Skip all the time, our women worship better than any other ministry on campus. And so I wish he could sneak in and watch you, because you're so amazing, and I'm so proud of you. So I tell him about you guys all the time. So I know that he would just love to be in and among 800 women. So anyway, we're going to do testimonies, and I guess if you want to share your testimony, come up here and down by the steps, and we'll call you up one at a time. I think we have a testimony to share on screens, because some of the people didn't know if they wanted to come up. But so I was blown away learning so much detail about the women of Genesis. It's been truly comforting to read about how God has restored these messy women and men and certain relationships. I never realized the bloodline of Christ was so deeply tainted. I'm so appreciative of this study, and I'm also saddened it's almost over. I've come to realize I not only actually want Christian females in my life, but I need them. Now that's huge. That's really, really big. So very wonderful. Anybody want to come forward and share a testimony? Well, you can make your way to the front, and we'll be happy to let you share something that Christ has done in your lives. I've had so many of the women just come up after each session, and I'm sure Janae and Zanetta have had that happen too, where women have gotten up and shared some pretty deep, intense things. So we would love to hear that. That's how we know how God's moving and he's working in and among you. And it's encouragement to the leadership so they know what Christ is doing and what work he's done. How about another one on the screen? This one is, this semester the women of Genesis spoke to me with the story of Sarah. She waited 80 years for God's promise. Assures me that his promise to me will happen. I've been waiting for God's promise 2 years and 5 months, and I know things, all things work together for glory in his time and in his will. Are there ladies here today that are infertile and you've been waiting for a pregnancy? Because we'd like to pray for you. So if you've come here and that's what's going on in your life, if you want to stand up, we'd love to pray for you. I was infertile for quite some time and lost some pregnancy. So if that Sarah portion about being infertile, or when it was Rachel, we'd love to pray for you. Yes, ma'am. She's raising her hand, but she doesn't want to stand up. Anybody else? Anybody else here? God, you can do anything. And we read this semester that you open wombs. And so, Lord, you know her heart, you know the cries of her heart, and you know the mechanism by which her body works and her husband's body, Lord. So you know what to do to fix it. And we pray that by this time next year, Lord, we will have a praise report, that there will be a pregnancy, and that you will be glorified because you're the God who can do anything. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Seriously, we have a crowd of this many women and nobody wants to talk? Okay, thank you. Okay, that's good. Oh, she would like us to pray for the women who want to be married, all the single ladies. So are there some single ladies that you would love to be married, and that's what you're waiting for? I mean, we saw God playing matchmaker in this semester. So is there anybody here that you'd like us to pray for you, that God would provide a mate? And I see people talking to each other, but nobody's standing up. Is it calling you out? Anybody here that you would like us to pray for you? Oh, thank you, Michelle. God bless you. Okay. Anybody else? Lord, you are the consummate matchmaker, and I see you back there too. Thank you. And you brought Eve to Adam. Somehow you brought that all together, and you found a way for these people, Lord. So would you please be a matchmaker again, God? That you know that the man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and so you know where these guys are, and shake them loose. Sometimes it's really hard to get them motivated. But also, we want the perfect mate, Lord. We want the perfect person for these ladies standing, Lord, that you will bring them into this life, and they would know, that they would have the sense of knowing that this is their mate, their soulmate, and that you have called them to unity and to togetherness, Lord. So we just pray that you would build some strong relationships that can do some strong work for you, for your kingdom, and for your glory, Lord. That you would be elevated, that one can chase 1,000 to flight, but two 10,000, and you'd make them more effective with a mate in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, did you have a testimony? Okay. Can you just come partway up the stairs? I don't know if they'll have feedback if I'd let you stay down there.
Okay, ladies, this isn't easy for me, but here we go. This Bible study has taught me a lot. Control. You know, I've taken control a lot. Taken my Lord off his throne and put myself there. And boy, whew, talk about messes. It's crazy how doing that is just, it just doesn't work. He's taught me also a lot about needing you guys. You know, I've isolated myself a lot. You know, I've never had friends. It's just been a lot easier for me just to be alone, I thought. But I need you guys. I thank you guys for your prayers. He's also taught me about, you know, my husband just letting him make decisions in the home and submitting to my husband and to the Lord. Gosh, this is, it has taught me a lot. Also, it's really helped me to deal with 2 years of my daughter and my son-in-law being addicted to crystal meth. And without your prayers, you know, I cried for every day for about a year and a half. I was just broken. I didn't know where to go, what to do. And there again, I kept myself isolated. Prayer, I've learned, is very, very powerful.
Praise the Lord.
Very powerful. My son-in-law and my daughter are 31 days meth-free. Um, My husband and I are guardianship of my granddaughter. She's 15 months now. She was a big part of this. My daughters realized that, you know, this little girl, you know, she's gone through a lot of days without my daughter being there. But looks like things are finally turning around.
Thank you.
And like I said, we all do need each other.
Thank you, Jesus.
And just keep praying. I also have a niece. Her name is Brianna. She's in California right now, lost and also addicted to meth. She's in pretty bad shape. So if you guys please lift her up in prayer, and hopefully the Lord will also get her on that narrow path and bring her back home to us. And again, just thank you guys. You guys are awesome.
I don't think her testimony is uncommon. So we're going to pray for Brianna. But is there any of you here that have children who are addicted, whether it's opioids or it could be crystal meth? Please stand up if you do. We want to pray for your kids. And it would be really helpful. I think it's much more epidemic than we know. Oh, love you. So we're going to lay hands and we're going to reach out our hands to heaven and we're going to ask God to be the biggest God ever, that nothing is impossible with him, Lord. And we sing about it all the time, that you can break any chain. And so will you break the chains in the lives of these loved ones and the lives of these sons and daughters, Lord, that you would bring these prodigals home, we pray, wherever they are, with pig pods, in the worst places imaginable, they would come to their senses, Lord. Something by your Spirit would just reach out to them and say, this is nonsense, this is craziness, this is emptiness, this is crazy. And that, Lord, they would come to their senses. They would know again that there is a better life, a better God, a better way. And that they would cry out for salvation, Lord. They would cry out for help. Lord, I pray that in that crying out to you, they would come to their parents or siblings or grandparents or somebody, Lord, and say that they need help. Lord, that you would reach them, that you can save to the uttermost and the guttermost, and you can save any one of these. And so, Lord, we pray that you would be a God who searches and seeks and saves. Leave the 99, Lord. Leave us to go find the one. We'd rather have you with them than here. And so go find them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony. Thank you for that. That was so, so brave. Is there anybody else? I see someone else coming. A couple comings. Good. See, now what's going to happen is you're going to all start bum rushing, so that's good. And then we'll have a long line. Please, come on up. And what's your name? Oh, my gosh, Shelly. Hi. I've known her forever. She and her sister and her parents. Oh, my goodness. Oh, love you. Wow, it's great to see you.
It's here. Good to see you, too. I just want to just thank you for the openness and the vulnerability that we all got to see, and God's grace and God's mercy. I have a prodigal story. Sorry. My husband and I started coming to Calvary in the early 80s. And I was backslidden. We dedicated my life to the Lord, and he came to the Lord. We have three children. They all accepted the Lord very young in life. Our daughter never wavered. Our sons, on the other hand, were a completely different story. And my story is about one of them today. It's really a good story.
Okay.
But it's sad. It's sad and happy.
Yeah, bittersweet.
Bittersweet. Joshua accepted the Lord when he was 7. And he came to church with us, and he was a good kid. Not a strong-willed kid like the young one.
Oh, he wouldn't eat.
Oh, yes.
I remember, we prayed he would eat.
Yeah. 42 and a half hours later, he got the same ham sandwich set in front of him. And God had to break his body to bring him home to him. So anyway, Joshua started rebelling against us about age 12 or 13. And at that stage, we could still make him come to church, even though he didn't want to. But then we finally had to let it go. We had to let God be God in his life. And he got involved with drugs and gangs and went down a very bad path. He got married and moved away. His wife, ex-wife now, also drugs. But her drug activity eventually landed her in jail. So he had custody of the kids. I don't know how God got him out of the gangs, but he did. That is a story that I want to hear from him one day. So he was doing really well, but he got back into the drugs. And in November of 2016, he had his kids taken away from him. But God, that brought him back to the Lord. And he lives far away from us. So it was, God brought people into his life. It's a big story, and I know I don't have time. But he is now serving the Lord in a Baptist church. He now gives 15-minute teachings every Wednesday at a soup kitchen. He gives every Friday, he gives a 5 to 10 minute street witnessing. And his dad and him now talk for hours about the Lord and God's truth. His children are not saved, and he only has supervised visitations right now. But Kennedy Ann went to a youth group getaway, and she came home with lots of questions. And Joshua sat down with her and was going over the scriptures with her. And she looked at him and she said, "Daddy, how come Mama doesn't know anything about this?" And he says, "Honey, because she didn't grow up in a Christian home."
Right.
And during our toughest times, I believe in praying God's word. And in 1994, God gave me Colossians 2, 6 through 9 to pray for my Joshua. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abound therein in thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, and after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." I prayed that for my son.
Thank you, Lord.
And I didn't pray it every day, but I prayed it. I put his name in there and I said, "God, he accepted you. Build him up. Have him rooted and grounded in you." I also prayed for a Barnabas and a Paul to come into his life, because we need encouragement. But we also need truth. We also need black and white. We know we need to know where we sin, and we need to know where we need to run back to. So, and this morning, as I was reading this, I remembered also a verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17. And it's, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Amen.
And in the New King James, or the Old King Jimmy, are become, it's not a, oh, kind of, sort of, maybe. It's are. It's a definite. And become is brought to past, to fulfillment. So we are new creatures in Christ. We don't have to have the junk of the past hang on to us, because we have the strength, the love, the grace of God within us to break those chains.
Amen.
Thank you, Shelley. It's so good to see you. Isn't that neat that someone came up and shared, pray for my prodigal. We prayed for prodigals, and then God gave us a testimony that prodigals can come home. And then he even gave you scriptures to pray over your prodigals. So I love it when the Lord weaves things together and he has a plan. Were there other gals that came up forward for testimony? Thank you. She has that quickening feeling, so she thinks the Spirit's telling her she's got to do this.
Do I have to hold it? You don't have to hold it.
My name is Letitia Keith, and I, in the Bible Island, while the mothers are here learning about the love of Jesus, but I'd like to recognize Kiona and Barbara. They come at noon and give us an hour of their time so we can go over this study.
Yes.
And it's wonderful. But I was touched with Hagar's story. And my granddaughter, Jenna Marie, was diagnosed with leukemia 11 months ago, and she had complications, and she's still in the hospital. She's now in the Denver, Colorado hospital. Chemo didn't work for her, so they're doing the CAR T-cell therapy, and we're having success. But, well, you did the study of Hagar. My daughter-in-law was at the hospital crying and hurting, and she was, you know, across the bed of Jenna, just waiting for the Lord to touch Jenna and to heal her, but she was hurting. And so we listened to the 6:30 on live streaming, I guess. Yeah. And so it just touched mine and her heart. And what was exciting about it is that I love this. It's Genesis 16:13. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. And this is Hagar. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me.
Thank you, Jesus.
And the Lord is alive, and he's doing wonders in my daughter-in-law's life, in my son's life, and in Jenna's life. And he's really using Jenna in a big way to share the love of Jesus and his power and his healing power. And I just want to give all the glory to him.
Thank you, Lord.
Yep, it's true. God sees you. And I'm sure mom was sitting looking at her daughter in bed and saying, God, don't you see? Don't you see? And then he said, I sure do. So that's so powerful that he does. He sees everything that happens. Please make your way down and we'll read another one if you have a testimony. Great, gals. If you just wait over here. Do we have another? And Eve, as Eve did, I too have fallen to the craftiness of the evil one. It's easy to do. Like her, I've compromised. I've accommodated God's word for my convenience. I've considered the physical and emotional desire and inadvertently or on purpose led others to sin with me. Thanks to the Holy Spirit, I now run from temptation and stand firm in the armor of God. Hallelujah for that. That's awesome. You guys can come up. And you are?
Hi, I'm
Kristen. My group knows me. Sorry. I'm probably going to get emotional, so I apologize. I'm a mom of four very small kids. I have 2.5-year-old twin girls and 5-month-old twin boys. So, needless to say, I am a weary mama. So, this is fatigue also kind of hit me, so I apologize. What I've gotten from this study more than anything is just the sense of God's purpose for me, especially as a mom. I was a nursing student, and I got pregnant with my girls, and so I had to put that on hold and had to kind of fall on my husband providing, and that was a really hard, hard thing. And obviously never being a mom and not really knowing the hard work that goes in, I didn't feel like I was worth a lot because I didn't have a job. And now having four kids, I have definitely learned that motherhood is the most important job.
Yes, it is.
And it is the hardest but most rewarding job. So again, I apologize for being so emotional. And I think back on one of the messages, it was one of the first messages when we were talking about Mrs. Noah, and you made the reference to the pioneer women. I'm at home raising four very small kids while my husband is at work, and he works before the sun comes up, and he's home long after the sun comes down. So I'm home by myself quite a lot with four tiny wardens. And, you know, I do everything in my power to keep them safe, to show them love, despite, like I said, my fatigue and my frustration and everything. And I just, you had mentioned one time, you know, like pioneer women, they would bar the door, they'd have a shotgun in hand, you know, and I would do anything to protect my kids. And so I kind of think of that. And another thing, like I said, I got out of this was like the sense of community. The ladies in my group have come and they have showered me with so much help and encouragement when I have needed it, like today. You know, they have seen me fall apart so many times, and they have come to my rescue, they've come to my aid, and they've prayed over me, and they've given me so much encouragement. And just like you mentioned with Lynn Dugan, everyone's, you know, we all walk this path, and it's so good to have women who have done it right and show you hope. And so many of the ladies in my group, they have done it right and they've given me hope. So thank you, like Christina, Liz, May, Ellen, Lindy. I could name 100 of you ladies, and I look up to you, and it's so good to know that there is light at the end of this tunnel, and it is the brightest light. It's God, and I can't do this without him. So thank you. That's me.
I'm so proud of you, and I'm proud of you women. You know what? You're right. Raising children is the most important thing, and we need more Christian children in this world. I pray that, I know a lot of you don't want any more, but I pray you'd all be fruitful so we'd have tons more of Christian children in this world, because the world needs them. And it's getting darker and darker, and it seems like a lot of other kinds of kids are being born, but we sure need more Christian kids. So what you do is incredibly valuable. And don't let anyone ever tell you any different. You are precious. Again, that Proverbs 31 woman. You know, who can find a woman like this in the world today? They're so hard to find, but the Lord is good and he provides. And so we're just so grateful. Right, Lynn? So, so grateful that God gives us these examples. And then that's just a shout out for the small groups. You know, if you haven't gone to small groups, they are the ones that hold you up. I mean, they're the ones that you can call. They're the ones that would make a meal. They're the ones that say, let me take those kids while you grocery shop. I mean, it's just that kind of thing that we need in our lives. And so it's really, really important. So grateful that you come and that you're in the small groups, because we're supposed to bear one another's burdens. And that's what community is. Hello.
I'm Janice, and I love these studies.
The Bible tells us in Isaiah 40, those who wait upon the Lord will rise up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. And I just want to say that you and the teachers and the words that are here have empowered me. I've run and been really tired because I haven't waited on the Lord. And so the impact that this study had for me is looking at women like Rebecca and Sarah who tried to make things work in their own power over and over again, small ways, big ways. But God in His mercy relieved them of that, and He made good on His promises. And so I'm encouraging you and encouraging myself to wait on the Lord, to follow Him, to trust in His strength.
That's right.
I have grandchildren who struggle. They struggle very much. And I have had a habit of fretting,
yes,
and worrying and conniving and imagining and doing all kinds of things to help God help my grandchildren.
That's right.
And so now I covet your prayers for Henry and Bellamina, but I also pray for your children that they will have moms that wait upon the Lord and trust in His word and the power of His word. I tell my grandchildren all the time, and yet I forget sometimes, to be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God goes with you wherever you go. And He is God who sees.
Thank you. So is anyone else here in a waiting season? And you're just kind of wanting to really get your hands in it. Who's waiting on God for a situation? So those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. And the admonition is, teach me, Lord, to wait. And so, Lord, help these women to be good waiters, to wait on you. And it doesn't have to be passive, Lord. It can be active that we're seeking you and asking you, show us how to pray. Show us, Lord. And maybe we're praying for someone else to take action rather than ourselves. And that's so hard, Lord. And so I just pray that you'd speak to these women in the quiet places, that, Lord, you would give them your secrets and you'd make them intercessors. And their prayers would be so incredibly powerful, Lord, that they would open doors, set captives free, and would do good work, Lord. Help them to be patient. In Jesus' name. Natalie.
I just want to share kind of on the other side of that waiting. Just to reiterate that the promises of God are yes and amen. And the Lord gave me such a specific and clear vision for ministry with my husband and what that would look like. And honestly, I expected it to be here, you know. And so recognizing that it would, sometimes we block ourselves with putting our own details on what God's promise is. And so I, over the years, as so many have said, have struggled with that control and that manipulation of the promises of God and saying, Lord, you gave me this promise, you gave me this vision, and why isn't it coming to fruition, or why isn't it working in the way that I thought it would? And recognizing, number one, to be faithful with what He's given you, and He will raise you up. Don't promote yourself, but be faithful with the little, which often is a lot. It looks like a little in the moment, but it is so much more than that, because it's that building ground and that's that foundation. And this has been so much of that for me. And so thank you, and thank all of you for just, you know, giving us these opportunities to learn and grow and know what it looks like to trust in the promises of God. And also just stepping out in faith when it doesn't make sense. This opportunity came up for my husband and I, and out of nowhere, you know, to move forward and to move away from family and community 6 weeks after we have our first baby. And it really doesn't make logical sense to us or to so much of the world, but God is so faithful to clarify His call on your life when you are seeking Him and seeking His will for you. And Zanetta, actually, one of the teachings that she did this semester was right after we had gotten back and we were praying through this opportunity. And so much of what the Lord spoke through her was complete confirmation for us to move forward into that. And we saw it over and over and over again, and there was nothing that came against it. And so aside from the waiting, when he opens the door, even if it doesn't make sense, step and move out and move in confidence that we are called to have fear of God, not fear of man. And so it may not make sense to a lot of people around you, but God is faithful and he's good and his promises are yes and amen. And he will do abundantly more than you could ever ask or imagine. So
that's good. That's good. I believe with that, there's a measure of risk taking in following Jesus, and that's what faith steps are. And all these women really did make faith steps. We talked about Sarah. Really? They're bringing the movers? Where am I moving? I don't know. Well, how will we know when we get there? I don't know. And so sometimes you don't have all the answers, but you do have the go. And so then you're just faithful, and he will lead you step by step. So that's really good. Corianne! Corianne is the daughter of one of my dear friends, and bringing up the granddaughter, her daughter. All right. Do you want me to hold this?
Yeah, that'd be great. I'm holding this. So you hold that. I know. It's like, should I risk passing her off? I'll just hold her. She's sleeping. Well, there's a lot this semester that I've missed because of this one right here. She's 9 weeks now, but she's pretty awesome. My mom came today and helped me with the kids, and I mean, kudos to that girl who's got two sets of twins. Holy cow. I've got a 2.5-year-old, 1 2.5-year-old, and 1 newborn. And it's really hard. So kudos to you who have more. But, so yeah, there's a lot that I've missed. But nonetheless, I have some great testimony, you know, that's still unfolding, but to share. And kind of along with what Natalie has been saying, and so my husband's a firefighter, and we've kind of ping-ponged back and forth between here and North Dakota. And since we've been here the second time we moved down here, we're about to move for the fifth time. And we're just so tired of moving. And the job situation is just feels like a nightmare that's never going to end. But we also have a 12-year-old that neither of us are related to, and we're raising him, and one of my first two prayers in wanting to move to New Mexico was to get our 12-year-old the help that he needs, and he's getting that, and that is huge. 12 years, and he's needed help his whole life, and he's finally on that path, and it's not anything that's finished, but he's on that path. And my next thought and my next prayer was for James to be able to go to school of ministry. And so he's going to be going in the fall, and this is the first time he has the job that he does that will allow it with the schedule. And that's just huge. And he shared with me yesterday he went to the Be Student for a day, and he's already just totally being spiritually attacked with doubt and fear and anxiety and frustration and all of those things. Like, he's not even registered yet. But God spoke to him yesterday and just confirmed that he's on the right path. And I just feel like, wow, these are two huge prayers that are finally being answered. And it's been, you know, I don't know, 6 years maybe of praying these kinds of things for this family of ours. And it's still unfolding. There's still a lot to be done. And I know that James is excited, but it's going to be rough. You know, I told him it's not the information that's hard. That's the fun part. It's what God is going to do. He's going to wreck you. You know, he's going to bring you face to face with stuff. But you know what? He wants it and he needs it. And he is excited to see what God's going to do when he finally just gives in completely. So
that's a praise the Lord. So again, someone comes up and says, hey, y'all, you need to wait on the Lord. And then Natalie and Corianne both come up and say, well, we've waited on the Lord and we're on the precipice of these answers. And 6 years, I don't know, same about time period. I hate to tell you if you're waiting, it could be 6 years. Maybe you're 4 years in. I don't know. Just kidding. His timing is perfect. That's the other thing I know, that when we wait on him, his timing is perfect. And you know what? We always think we're ready for the task ahead of us, but maybe we're not. And that could be why it takes 6 years. Janae, if you could hand me my phone, and if there's another one of these to read, I'll read it while she gets my phone. Because I read this post this morning and I thought it would be really neat. So I'll try and find it while we read the one on the screen. So let's look at another one of the testimonies. So for myself, it hit home in the study of Eve and how her desire was for Adam. This was not a lustful desire. It was to control him. And during the study and lecture, it rang some truth for me. I loved when Lenya mentioned that Adam was the head of the house, but Eve would be the heart of the home. After 33 years of marriage, this study knocked some sense into me. Sadly, I didn't get it then, but I do now. Praise God. Okay, that makes me want to cry. Let me find this. I follow Shelley Giglio. Do you guys know who that is? Lou Giglio out of Atlanta. And this morning she wrote something, and it had to do with moving on in ministry since it's the School of Ministry and Ministry. She said, handing stuff off to the next generation is definitely a challenge at times for us older folk. However, it is also that sometimes the younger generation doesn't want the sleepless nights, countless hours invested, inconveniences, personal challenges, required faith, depth of personal prayer, and intimacy with the Father in the dark room that is required to lead. Look, if it were easy, we would give it more readily, I think. Leading is not a joke and takes honing a heart and skills. If you haven't been handed what you dream you will hold, use your time wisely to prepare yourself. Once the stewardship is in your hands, you will be more grateful. Hashtag raise me up. And I just thought that was beautiful because really God is working on us in the waiting. It's often us that is getting ready for what you have. And maybe you're going to need a full tank for what you have because it could take everything you've got. And so there are seasons like that, that if you had not had this moment of being dormant, you know, during the fall and winter, then spring couldn't bring forth the blossoms. And so don't regret being dormant for a season because those roots are going down and you're getting the nourishment so you can go up. And I really do fully believe that. Well, I think our time for testimonies is over. Is that right, Tracy? But we have food trucks, and we can hang out and enjoy each other. Oh, you have announcements. Awesome. So Tracy has some announcements, and Francesca. And so I love you guys. Thank you. Come back next semester. Live deeply. You can register out in the foyer at the Welcome Center. And the books are in the bookstore, I think. So that's taking part of your announcements?
Yeah, I guess we're done.
Okay, no. She'll tell you all about the details.
Well, transition. That was beautiful, wasn't it? Can you give everybody a hand that was brave to come up here? And I just want to say, if you think of these women that have done the testimonies today, just give a prayer to them and encouragement. And just, you know, over the summer, don't forget about each other and continue to pray. Well, we have done a lot of thank yous already, but there are a few people that we don't see that do amazing things. So the worship team, for one, if we can give a hand to the worship team. In this booth back here, we have two gentlemen that help us with lighting and sound. They make us look good and sound appropriate. And I don't know if you know, but there's a booth right up there, that little triangle-type window is, and there are some people in the booth. Brent Wiley is one of them, and Jordy. Oh, they're flashing their lights at us. And some women that help us with slides. So let's give them a hand, because we kind of sometimes go off the plan, and they have to try to figure out where we're going and what we're saying, and so we're grateful to them. If I've missed you, I apologize, but we exist because volunteers exist. So if you are looking to volunteer in women's ministry, please come see me. I love to connect women with their purpose or with a calling or with a job. I have so many jobs, I can give all you guys a job.
And if I don't have a job here, let's go to my house because I got stuff to do at my house. Anyways, Live Deeply is our next study. I'm so excited. In the parables in the fall. Are you excited about that? Look at this beautiful book. You can buy your book today in Parchments. It's 33% off, and any Bible you get is 50% off. So if you've been encouraged today to get a Bible for somebody, today's the day to get it in Parchments. Additionally, we have the She Bag is $10, and we love this bag. And Fran, I just gave her a new bag because she showed me hers. It was ripped on the bottom.
Yes,
she loved it.
I use mine all the time.
She just loved it to death. So we also have Reload Love. It has t-shirts, 50% off. I did get a t-shirt for my husband, and he wears it to sleep in. He just loves it. It's really soft. So if you're thinking of something for gifts. Now we have Fran, who's going to talk about summer events.
Yes, we are very excited because just because we have finished with our semester here doesn't mean that you can't be connected. So I don't know if any of you were at the She Lives event on Saturday. It was really an awesome event, and Janae heads that up. And we do have another one coming up in July, at July 28th. So I want you to look on the website for that. You can go to sheabq.org to look at all our events coming up, or if you like paper better, we do have some calendars out on the table that tell you about everything that's coming up. And Lenya mentioned our conference, woohoo, in August, and we're excited about that. We've got a great guest speaker coming. So look for that. The tickets are going to start going on sale in June. And, you know, these events are really filling up and selling out. And so we don't want you to miss out. You can download the She app on your phone. And so there's access everywhere to find our events. And the online Bible study is going to be starting. You can follow on Instagram or on Facebook and join in. And Zanetta's got a great team that heads that up. And that's going to start May 14th, and they are going to be going through Live Brilliantly, the study, First John. And Lenya, you're so gifted in writing, so we are so blessed to have Lenya, provide all these studies for us. So I think that's it.
Right, so we're done, and I can hardly believe it. It just flew by. Can you believe we're done? The semester's over. What are we going to do now? I don't know. I guess we're going to do that study.
All this stuff that I just told you about.
We have food trucks. Yep. I guess we're not done. I'm done. It's
no break. No
now
break.
You. So we have food trucks out in the courtyard. We have some water for you. Please go to the bookstore, register at the Welcome Home for Live Deeply. Today's the day you can register. And come find me if you have any questions. That's it. Thank you very much.